Okay, so we're in record mode. I wonder of the folks on the call, how many of you were on the first call or have had a chance to listen to it?
I have not.
I have.
Yes, I listened
to it.
Okay, great. I'm not going to repeat too much basic information. We'll just go into chords. And for those of you who have not listened to it, it's available out on the website under the conference call recording. And I certainly suggest that you listen to that. It will have some of the basic information about improvisation on it, as far as the guidelines before we got into actually using scales. And tonight what we're going to do is focus on chords. And I'm going to go ahead and put all of you on mute while I introduce the concepts behind chords, and then we'll have time for questions and answers. And as we go through, I'm going to suggest that you take some of the information as it's given, and I'll give you time to actually do a little playing with it, so that you're not having to wait until the end of the call to do that. So let me put you on mute. Okay. So the last time, just in terms of the basics, what I suggested is that when you are improvising, that you want to remember to breathe, slow down, listen, which we don't often do for ourselves. Be simple, and most of you, if not all, are harpists. I can't remember exactly. So one of the things that I suggest in playing around with improvisation is forget your placing for a little bit, especially while we're doing these simple things, and just use your two index fingers. And what that does is break up your natural tendency, for instance, especially in chords, where once you place, you either want to go all the way up with your fingering or all the way down with your fingering. And you don't have to do that. There are lots of other options. When you use only two fingers, I think you'll notice that it kind of forces the issue of slowing down and listening. And there isn't any automatic place to go. So you listen, and you determine what you want to do next. So I'm going to start with an introduction to chords. It's going to be really, really basic. Just so that you've got the concept of the chords and the possible, many of the possible patterns that you would use with them. And again, you'll have some time to try this out. But tonight I'm going to use the D, I'm tuned in C, and I'm going to use the Dorian chord. I'm going to use the chord D, F, A. So, that's your basic triad chord. And with chords, no matter where you are on your instrument, any D, any F, any A is a part of that chord. It can be played in any order, in any place. Now, one of the things that I suggested in making improvisation that works is that you use a very small range, that you don't use the whole harp, if in fact you're a harpist. And you certainly don't do a lot of jumps. So you've got your triad. And one of the easiest things to do is arpeggiate. So you would play. So all you've done is take that triad and continue it up. And you all know how to do that. You also have the ability to do just a full chord. So, 1, 1, 3, 5, 8. And of course you can come down. And any of these chords, you could play them in any order. And I'm going to stay for part of the discussion. I'm going to stay in the root position of the course. Certainly there are inverted positions that will add variety, but I want to keep it simple. So when you are in root position and you want to add a variation just using a very small range, if you play your 1, 5, 10, 8, so I'm playing D, A, F, D. That would be a possibility. I could do 8, 9, 10. And I could do 1, 5, 10, 9, 8. And I certainly could keep going. To the octave. So what I'd like you to do now is play with just those patterns and a chord in a small range now. And one of the ways you can do this is all in even tempo. Or you can vary. Change your tempo, just change a little bit what you're doing on either side of the chord, stay in a small range, and let each note ring, stay simple, and let each note that you've played guide you to the next and see what happens. Now I'm going to give you a couple minutes to play with that on your instrument. And you're all on mute, so nobody can hear you. Okay, the next chord and pattern that I want to introduce, which is one of my favorites, is to take your 1, 5, 8, and then add the ninth, so what you're doing is Actually, let's just do it in one octave. That probably confuses the issue. So I've got my fourth finger on the D. I'm going to, as if I were going to play a 1-5-8, I finger that. And then I put my third finger on the E. I just butchered that, so please forget what I just said. I'm going to finger F, A, and D. I'm going to put my fourth finger on the E. So the E is the ninth. So if I were going up, so if you're working in just a couple of octaves, if I were to do that on a different chord, if I do it on a C chord, if I do it on the F, if I do it on the G, doing the A chord, for instance, in a triad, it sounds like that, but when I add in the sound of the ninth, it gives a totally different tone and sound. So go ahead and play with that. Don't feel limited to staying with the D chord. Just play around and see what sounds good. Okay. Now, if we take a basic chord and we change the rhythms, we take our D chord at 1-5-8, and we go. That has a much different sound than if I. And if I take that same D chord and I do a rhythm and I do the 1-5-10, 8, that's much more interesting than. That's exactly the same note. So, again, whether you're in the D chord or I could do the same thing with the A chord. Or. One of the really nice patterns is to do this 1-5-10-8 pattern on A, and do the D pattern and just hang on that 1-5-10. 1-5-10-8 on the A. 1-5-10 on the B. And just rock back and forth. And you can do that with virtually any chords, depending on what you think sounds good. So play around with that for a minute or two. Okay, so now what I want to do, I'm not going to talk a lot about how you make decisions about which chords to move from and to. But I'm going to give you some examples of how you combine these chords without getting really complex with scales and parts of the chord, so that you end up with something that actually is fun to listen to. And I'm going to do my best to use only two fingers for this. So again, I'm going to be with a D chord. Did is use the D chord, and I emphasize 1, 5, 8, and 5, and I use the chord to ground myself, and then I use the single notes. However, I was moved to do that, change the rhythm. Did it leisurely, and came down, eventually came back to the bass chord. And I could have kept playing around. And again, what we're doing is trying to get a really simple idea of the feel, not having lots of complex notes. We're still doing one note at a time, and obviously to add interest eventually, we want to be able to move from chord to chord so you've got different tonalities, but right now stay with one chord, whatever chord you want, and take some time and play around with it. See what the possibilities are. Okay, I'm going to take you off mute now. So if you continue to cut, please make sure you're on mute on your own phone. But I want to open up for comments, questions, answers, and see where we want to go from here.
When would you want to use the Dorian mode?
Dorian is a really grounding mode. I use it a lot in hospice work, but that is certainly not the only place for it. This is a mode that very often I start with, can be started with, for grounding. There is not, I would say there's not any one place, there's no rule that says you should use Dorian in any specific place.
Thank you.
This is Deborah Sawyer. I joined late and had some computer problems with the numbers. But anyway, I have a question. When you're doing this, one of the things you said in there, no harmony. So you don't want to, what you're practicing here, you don't put two notes together. They're always single notes?
Yes, and we're doing, remember what we're doing is an introduction into improvisation. So, baby. In the improvisation. Ultimately, yes, we want to be able to include harmony. But for purposes of keeping it and looking at what you can do without any harmony, which I think sometimes as harpists, we forget that it's possible to do anything without harmony. That's what this is about. So it's not a forever limitation. It's not a limitation of... Certainly not a guide in therapeutic music. This is just a way to take small steps into improvisation.
Okay. So then when you started out with a scale, right? And so would you, and I was just fooling around like a C scale that has a minor F7. You know, where I work those notes because they're all within that scale. Does that make sense to you?
Well, there isn't any supposed to. It's about you listening and what sounds good.
Okay.
And just taking your time, making it simple, staying within a small range. Putting breath in there so that you're relaxed, but there is not the way to do it.
Okay. Dee, I have a quick question.
Okay.
Are you using strictly the index finger on the right and the left for all of this work tonight?
I did. The very last thing that I did, I used only index finger. Earlier, I cheated. I used multiple fingers.
Okay.
But I could have done it using index fingers.
Okay.
If Dee at Sobel, would it be better to, I'm not saying this right. If you're working in one particular chord and scale, would it be useful to change from chord scale to chord scale, or to stick mainly to one? Am I saying this right? When you're playing for someone, or when you're improvising.
When you're improvising for someone, you definitely want more variety.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it would be helpful if I did, I'm going to use one finger, and I'm going to limit myself to no harmony, which is not a limitation. That you'd want to keep, certainly in therapeutic music in general, but again, for simplicity. And I'm going to move from chord to chord. I think that's what you're asking.
It is, yeah.
So I'm going to just do that. I'm not, depending on whether there are more questions or not, we might get into how you make some of those choices. But I will just demonstrate kind of how you can play around with this, and then see if there's questions around it. So I'm not going to worry about telling you which chords I'm in. I'm just going to move from chord to chord. And I'm only going to use index fingers. Some of that is not what I would want to do. All I was doing was listening and trying things. So what I learned out of that is that there are some of those changes that I would not want to do and some that I would. And if I were using harmony, I'm just going to, again, do this for demonstration. It's a step ahead of where we are. But if I were doing it with harmony, you can do in combining chords and your scales provide you with some of the passing tones that give you the passage from one scale that you're in to the next. And the other thing that I always do is just emphasize the 1 in 5 of whatever chords I have as that temporary grounding point. So questions or comments?
Hi, Dee, this is Jean. When you do that, I would love it if you would play it and tell us what chords you're moving between. Just because I can't, you know, I don't hear what you're doing. It sounds lovely, but I don't understand exactly how you're moving about the heart.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, when I play and I speak at the same time, can you hear both?
I think so.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you can. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to start with the B chord. Now I'm going to A.
The chords you were calling out and just made a little dash for how many notes, you know, each time you played a note, just to give me some kind of idea. And some you stayed with a long time and others you moved on out of quicker. So that was really interesting. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. Other questions?
You know, we're in Eastern time zone, and this music is so beautiful. It's putting you to sleep.
Oh. So would it be useful to do more demo like that, or one of the ways that you get into chord progressions is use a chord progression that's in a piece that you already know. So, for instance, in the Paco Bell that I learned is Kim Robertson's version, and it's in C. And so the chords that are used are the C chord, G, A, forget about the fact that I want to play Paco Bell, and I say, well, that chord progression works. I don't need to invent it. But I don't have to follow, I don't have to do what they did in Paco Bell. So I can do three parts.
Thank you.
And that doesn't bear any resemblance to Taco Bell. But instead of my having to figure out where I'm going to go, I already have a template for that. And I use the notes in between chords. When I'm going, if I'm on C, at this point I'm playing something that is in the C chord as part of the harmony. And now I'm going to play something that's in the G chord. But it helps connect us. And if you miss and you end up playing a note that's not in the chord, you just kind of sit on it like you intended it to be that way and then breathe and resolve it into the chord.
Changing the topic a little bit, you mentioned varying the rhythm. Are we looking at rhythmical chords, or are we talking arrhythmical?
Well, I think when you're starting, when you're just getting into improvisation, the first thing you want to do is slow down, listen, get free. And I wouldn't worry about whether it's arrhythmic or pulse at that point. You definitely can do improvisation in either pulse or rhythmic or arrhythmic.
Okay.
But you know, one of the tricks to learning something new is really keep it simple and focus on one thing at a time, and then add something. But to get the first thing, and don't worry about is it rhythmic or arrhythmic. And that would be my suggestion. And if anything, I'd probably be leaning to arrhythmic because I think you have more freedom. You know, if you want to stop and take three breaths, then you stop and take three breaths. And you listen and you feel how that is. If we're worried about being in rhythm, you've now added in an additional piece, and probably it's going to affect your playing around with maximum flexibility. So I would bring the worry about the rhythm as a later step.
Okay.
If you flow freely, you're probably going to be able to move into rhythm as well. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah, I have another quick question. I love your idea about the Taco Bell chord progression. Do you have another one that you use as well as the Taco Bell progression?
I use the Surf County Down. Which goes from A, F, C, G, A, F, E, and it changes in the B part. But one of the chord progressions that you can use is the C, A, F, that's a very Western progression.
Thank you.
But you can take an awful lot of the tunes that you already know, just pull one out and look at the left hand. And kind of map out how the chords are moving and then feel it.
Now, I know this probably sounds really ridiculous, but could you take Londonderry Air and do something with that, you know, Danny Boy?
I would guess you can. I don't play either one of those. And so I don't know what the progressions are, but I'm finding it hard to believe that you could not.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways to find out is just play the left hand.
Uh-huh.
And listen. If you like it, use it. If you don't like it, either don't use it or modify it until you do like it.
Very good. I think that's a wonderful trick to have in your little pocketbook, you know, to have something to fall back on like that.
Well, I think, you know, as you're looking at being able to add flexibility in your musical offerings, having the ability to take a tune and then wander off the right hand in what you already know in the left hand is the basic chord, not necessarily the individual notes, but the chord structure gives you a huge amount of flexibility.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? We have...
Hello?
So what I would encourage you is play around and stay, don't be in a hurry to rush on to adding more in, as opposed to especially gaining freedom with your right hand and being able to play deliberately, flowingly, with space in between, not worrying about getting to the next note, not feeling like you have to have a note on every beat, you don't have to keep busy with the right hand. So one of the things that is a really good exercise is to use the chord and then your right hand as the answer. So your chord... Answer. Now, I have to think about the answer here, so I've got to pause. Because that person has to think about the answer. What are they going to do now? Where someone's posing an idea, you know, the person who's answering it doesn't necessarily just jump in. And if they do jump in, they don't necessarily keep rambling on. They probably stop and think. Let your music reflect that. And just stay simple and see how far you can take it. So, last chance for questions. Otherwise, we'll wrap up. And certainly, if you have any follow-up questions that come up after you leave the call, feel free to email.
Okay, I have to say, I love your comparing the playing to a conversation. That's very helpful.
Well, I did a short improvisation session with some folks in my locale, and there was one gal who just really wanted to be playing. Convinced her to do that conversation, and it was like night and day instantly. She was more relaxed, it was just more pleasant to listen to, and you know, there was certainly refinement that she would be able to add, but it made such a difference to get the busyness out of what she was doing. And she felt it, and that was the important thing.
That really makes sense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay, then I'm going to sign off and hope that I will be with you the next call. Have a nice evening. And I'm not going to say enjoy the snow because I doubt you.